Well, I want to share something with you that I thought was pretty cool and pretty exciting for us as a church. And that is last month in April, we experienced our highest average attendance that we've ever had in the history of our church. And that we had for three different Sundays out of five where our weekend attendance was above 900 in people. And so just pretty exciting. Just want to thank you guys for continuing to be here. Want to thank you guys for the way that you continue to invite people. And that we as a church are continually committed to just striving to help people right here in our community, right where God has planted us. I want to tell you about one other opportunity that is coming up, and that is baptism. That if you're somebody that you bowed the knee of your heart to Jesus as your Savior, and you've not been baptized since you've made that decision, we would love for you to be able to get baptized. And we're going to be doing baptism next weekend during our Mother's Day service. And so you can sign up for that. That you can text to 555-888, you can text baptism 247, and you can do that. You can look at your connection, find those details. You can sign up for it using a connection card. You can stop by our Next Steps area. There's multiple ways you can get signed up for that so that you can be part of our baptism next weekend. And if by any chance that you are interested in participating in our baptism class, we've got one going on right now that you're missing, but we have one at 11 o'clock, the same exact class. If you want to stick around for that we would love to have you there. It's going to be in our living room, and you can ask at the Next Steps, or you can ask at the Welcome Center, and they will be glad to tell you where that is and get you signed up for that. Well, we are going to wrap up talking about Mr. and Mrs. Better Half, and we've been on this journey. A journey that we've been taking together looking at this. And so if you're married, if you're single, we've been trying to speak to everybody in the room to help everybody understand what this is and why it's so important. That we started this series talking about half and half. That there's this better half mentality. That we would enter into it as this half and half. And as a half and half, that we would enter into this marriage commitment with each other, that we would come in and we would go, okay, if I'm a better half, then that means I need to leave and cleave. I need to leave the house that I grew up in, and I need to cleave to the one that I'm committing to spend the rest of my life with in this covenant relationship of marriage. That I need to leave the home that I grew up with. I need to leave it physically. I need to leave it financially. I need to leave it emotionally. I need to leave it relationally. I need to leave that, and I need to cleave into what I am moving into. It's not that we don't have relationship with our parents anymore, but when you look at what becomes the most important relationship, it is the relationship to the person that you marry, that you leave and you cleave. We also looked at this because we just looked at Adam and Eve and looked at this very first union is where we were getting this. We also looked at that there is this anticipation and celebration, that we would anticipate being with the one that we would be spending the rest of our life with. That there's this anticipation of, oh, finally, you're the one. That there's this anticipation of once we've met them, that we get to interact with them, that we get to spend time with them. That there's this and that we would celebrate them, that we'd celebrate who they are. And when we celebrate our better half, it's easy for them to live up to being our better half, because we celebrate them and we celebrate who they are to us. We looked at the search. We took a whole week and said, okay, let's talk about what it means to be single and what it means to be in the search. When you're out there and you're looking and you're going, hey, I don't want to stay single the rest of my life. And so I want to find a mate. I want to find somebody that I can have as a life partner, somebody that I can have this covenant relationship with. That we looked at this, we spent some time on this, and one of the things I shared with you is love. It's not a big enough reason to get married. That love needs to be there when you are marrying somebody, but it's not a big enough reason to marry. And that whenever we marry, we marry the person's background. That we marry their spiritual background, we marry their financial background, we marry their family background. We marry their ethical background. We marry their backgrounds. And we need to know, who is this that I am going to commit to spending the rest of my life with? And as we looked at this, I just shared with you guys that I think that there's three qualities that are worth waiting for. That there's more than that, but I talked about three. And I said, here's the three most important qualities. That when it comes to what you're doing and how you're looking for somebody, that if you're single If you missed this talk, I would encourage you to get it online because this catch-up right here isn't going to be enough for you. But one of the qualities worth waiting for is spiritual unity. Spiritual unity that you would be on the same page when it comes to what you do, when it comes to worshiping your Heavenly Father and the priority that you have for Him. That there would be directional compatibility. When you look and go, where is it I'm heading in life? How is it that I'm planning on getting there? That there's this directional compatibility in the way that you're moving towards something and who it is that you would be committing to spend the rest of your life with. That the direction you're moving in is a direction that is a very similar direction that they're going to be moving in. Emotional stability. And all of us have issues, right? It's not that nobody's out there that doesn't have any issues. We all have issues. But that there would be this emotional stability with the person that you're going to say, I do too. And last week we talked about Victoria's Secret. That was a fun talk. I enjoyed that. I tell people, you might be fairly new to us, but my two favorite subjects to teach on, and some of you guys are going to go, I'm not coming back to this church, but I'm going to tell you anyways. My two favorite subjects to teach on is sex and money. I know that most preachers, they like run away from it. I love teaching. Of course, I like those two things too, but so I do. I enjoy teaching on that and showing, listen, this is how God intended us to interact with these two things and what it is and how we leverage those things and how we honor Him with it. So I love that. So as we talked about Victoria's Secret that I shared with you guys, I talked to the gentleman in the room and I shared with husbands seven things that you need to know about your wives when it comes to sex. I shared with the women, the wives, seven things you need to know about your husband when it comes to sex. And everything that we did, we were building toward this climactic moment. I know I probably shouldn't be saying that in the message. That we were building toward this, and I wanted to get to this place where we would talk about the big O in marriage. Because the big O in marriage is oneness. That's it. It's about experiencing and having oneness as a couple. And if you want to have intimacy, sexual intimacy, emotional intimacy, if you want to have intimacy, then oneness is the very thing that you should be chasing inside your marriage. And that for women, communication, 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 that's what you guys crave. For guys, we crave sex, right? And when we look at this thing, how can we come together and be the better half for the other person? So today we're going to finish this up. We're going to talk about endless love. Endless love. There are some sobering statistics out there where love seems to come to an end. That there are some sobering statistics out there where even the one that I love, I'm no longer married to. And here's what some of those statistics are. 41% of first-time marriages will end in divorce. 60% of second marriages will end in divorce. And 73% of third or more marriages will end in divorce. That they won't experience this endless love. That the average age that someone gets divorced is 30 years of age. The average number of years if somebody remarries before they remarry is 3 years. And when we look at the divorce statistic and we break it down, that means that there is a divorce in America every 36 seconds. That just the time that we're going to spend together today in this service, there will be over 100 divorces that happen in the 65 minutes that we'll spend together. that when we look at what happens in a day, that there are right at 2,400 divorces in a day, 16,800 divorces in a week. Across the year, 876,000 divorces are taking place. There's a lot of marriages that aren't experiencing this endless love. And I know that just by the size group that we have, that there are going to be a handful of couples that are going to be in here, that your marriage is rocky. It's in a difficult place, that it is dark. And my prayer is that you will take these things and you will work on your relationship with each other, and that you'll apply these biblical principles and begin to experience all that God designed marriage to be. And this morning, I want to share with you a passage found in the New Testament book of Philippians. I want to share a passage with you that really wasn't written and talked about with marriage, this exclusivity of marriage when it was written. But I want to look at this passage in the context of marriage. That if we were to apply all of these pieces that are going to be shared in here, if we were to apply them into a marriage relationship, that I believe that it would transform the way that we would describe American marriages. If we could live out these principles that are shared. I don't want for you to just follow a statistical trend. That what I want for you is for you to be moving that statistic, moving the needle in the opposite direction. Moving the needle in a more favorable direction. And there is something out there that Cheryl and I have gone to, we participated in, and it was absolutely worth our time and our money. And I want to tell you a little bit about that. It's called A Weekend to Remember. Weekend to Remember. And it's put on by an organization called Family Life. And it is just an incredible weekend to get together and to go and to hear about what is it that I could be doing so that I can become a better half. And the two people moving into that and going into that and participating in that with that kind of mentality, it certainly helps marriages. And so I want to tell you about two different ones that are coming up. One is in Houston, June 1st. Through the 3rd, and then the following weekend is in Austin, June 8 through 10. And so those are two, they're coming up. They're not coming up too quick for some of you, and yet they're not so far away that you can't forget about it. And so it's kind of in that sweet spot of knowing, okay, when is that? What could I do? How could I participate in that? And it's going to cost right at $300 just for the registration. For a couple to be able to go and participate in this. And there's going to be some other expenses. You're going to have to stay somewhere and pay for that. You're going to have some meals. And some of you guys look at that and go, wow, that's pretty expensive. I don't know if I can afford that. Listen, I learned a long time ago that dating my spouse is a whole lot cheaper than divorcing her. It's a whole lot cheaper. It's more fun and it's more rewarding. I mean, it's like, why wouldn't I date my spouse? And so when you look at this and go, okay, well that's kind of expensive, and I don't know if we could afford that. Well, I want to do something to help alleviate some of that. And this is what I want to do. That I want to cover half of the registration cost for the first 5 couples that actually go and register. That if you'll go and you'll register for this, and you'll email us and you'll send us in, hey, here's our registration, we're registered, we're ready to go. The church, Crosspoint, will cover half. We will reimburse half of your registration fee. And you can go about this by, you can text 555-888. You can text the word better half. And if you'll text that in, 555-888, text in this word better half, that you're going to get a link to be able to go to the website to register. And you're also going to get to see the email, a very specific email, that you need to respond to that email. You need to send in your registration to that email. And we will mail you a check for half your registration fee. That's up to five. You know, if five do it, we're going to cover five. Up to five we're going to do. So I'm going to do the same thing next hour. That we're going to be willing as a church to spend $1,500 helping couples to say, you know what, it's time that I have a weekend to remember. To remember why I fell in love with you. To remember why I said I do to you. It's a weekend to remember. And I think that it's a weekend that could forever change your marriage. And so I really hope that you'll take me up on this offer. I really hope that you will let our church help you experience something like this. Well, let's get into Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to look at this again in the context of marriage, in the context of being a better half. And so here's what we get to read, Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. I like to add this parenthetical thought since we're talking about marriage. Don't try to impress others outside of your marriage. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. When we enter into a marriage, we're creating a monopoly. And so that's the person that you impress. So don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. You got to catch these three things. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others outside of your marriage. And be humble. How? Think of others as better than yourself. And if you think of your spouse as someone who is better than you, you know what your spouse becomes? A better half. That's what we're about. That's what we need to be pursuing in the marriage relationship. That we need to look at this. Verse 4. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. To take an interest in the person that you married and make their interest your greater interest. All of this is about that we would take on this attitude of Jesus, that don't look out only for your own interest. You know, marriages that tend to go south, the one thing that could accurately describe most of them is there is a spouse that has begun to look out for their own interests. And it takes a marriage south quickly. So we got to look and see, how is it? How is it I'm supposed to live my life? Listen, we're supposed to act as if. We're supposed to speak as if. That we are supposed to decide as if. We are supposed to sacrifice as if she is more important than me. Or that he is more important than me. That gentlemen, that you would look at your spouse and you would understand that she is absolutely more important than you. The wives, that you would look at your spouse and you would say, he is absolutely more important than me. And when two people are doing this, it truly creates a Mr. and a Mrs. better half. To see, a better half doesn't live like they are the most important person in the relationship. A better half doesn't do that. A better half doesn't live like they're the most important relationship they're the most important person in the relationship. That it's all about, hey, serve me, and it's all about me, and what are you doing for me? it's me, honey. That a better half, what they do is they live like the person they married is the most important person in the relationship. That the most important person in the relationship isn't me, but the most important person in the relationship is a you. Not a me, but a you. That's how a better half lives. Verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. That he wasn't like going out there and proclaiming and saying, hey, you know, I'm pretty important, and you know what, I'm an equal with God. I'm part of the triunity of God. He didn't take on that position. He had a different attitude that he took on. Verse 7, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. You know, sometimes there's people in a marriage that they act as if they have some divine privileges. And you owe me, and you better do for me. But we're supposed to take on the same attitude of Christ Jesus. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Christ-like humility. Christ-like humility. You know what it does? That Christ-like humility, it leads to honoring others. And when we look at this within the context of a marriage, if we're going to have Christ-like humility in our marriage, then it's going to lead us to honor our spouse, to treasure our spouse. So as we talk through endless love, I want to share with you 6 things a better half understands. 6 things that a better half understands. That they understand, they've grown to the place, that they've matured to the place, that they value the relationship enough, that they understand these things. And that if you're interested in having a Mr. and a Mrs. Better Half relationship, whether you're single now and that's something you want to have when you enter into a marriage, or whether you're married now, then this is going to be worth taking note of. Number 1 is, I am responsible for my attitude. This is something that a better half understands. I'm responsible for my attitude. Nobody else is responsible for my attitude. There's nobody that you can't justify and say, well, I had this attitude because of how you... No. A better half understands that they are the one who is responsible for controlling their own attitude. Yes, there are going to be people and they're going to tempt them to change their attitude, but yet they understand the person who is responsible for my attitude is me. The second thing a better half understands is that my attitude affects my actions. That my attitude, it affects my actions. So it's really important that we understand when it comes to our attitude that, you know, we're responsible for it. But we also must understand when it comes to the way that we act out that my attitude affects my actions. That the attitude, it always precedes actions. That our attitude always precedes the actions. And so the more that we can be in touch with wherever our attitude's at, and we control that, the easier it's going to be to control our actions. Because our attitude does. It comes along, and when it comes to our actions, it absolutely affects them. And that a bad attitude will lead to what? Bad actions. And a good attitude will lead to what? Good actions. And so, yes, my attitude affects my actions. Number 3, I can't change my spouse, but I can influence my spouse. I can't change, but I can influence. That when I do premarital counseling. And these are the people that, whether I'm actually going to be the one officiating their service or whether I'm just helping them out and somebody else is going to be officiating their service, that I like to just share a few things from my marriage over these 24 years. And one of the things that I deal with is I deal with this right here, is that I can't change my spouse, but I can influence my spouse. And just this week, I was meeting with a couple that they're going to be getting married in August, and I was getting to share with them something very specific about this right here. And what I was sharing with them was that when Cheryl and I were married, we were polar opposites when it came to finances. That when it came to finances, that she was somebody that she brought a savings account that it had 5 digits in that savings account and no debt. And I brought to the marriage a savings account with 2 digits. I'm not going to tell you what the period was. And I brought 5 digits worth of debt. We were polar opposites. And Cheryl didn't want me to be where I was. And I really didn't want Cheryl to be where she was, because every time I wanted to spend something, it was just this ordeal, okay? Let me tell you something that happened in my marriage that I didn't find out about until years later. This is how sneaky my wife is. She didn't strive to change me and figure out what she could do to make it to where I would be where she's at. She did something far more powerful. She prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed for years. But listen to what this prayer was, because this is the most important part. Let me tell you what she didn't pray before I tell you what she did pray. What she didn't pray was this: God, will you please help Will to see that my way of looking at this is so much wiser and so much better, and will you please bring him over to where I am? That's not what she prayed. But this is what she did pray. God, put us on the same page financially. God, put us on the same page financially. See, it was a humble prayer. It was a humble prayer that said, hey, God, where I might need to move, I'm willing to move. God, put us on the same page financially. And where he needs to move, would you just cause him to move? Would you cause me to move so that we could get on the same page financially? I didn't find out about that prayer until I had moved and moved and moved and moved and moved and moved and moved. And she moved. I didn't find out until that had taken place. Yes, she sought to influence me. But this is why I said she's sneaky. Because she relied on God when it came to trying to influence me. She didn't try to figure out what can I do and how can I do it. She relied on God and said, God, will you put us on the same page? Listen, some of you guys, that needs to become your new prayer. And maybe it's not financially. Maybe it's about the kids. Maybe it's about life choices, career choices. Maybe it's about where to live, how many kids. I don't know. But I'm telling you, it is a powerful prayer. But it's a prayer that we've got to pray if we're willing to go there and then trust God for it. It's a prayer that you've got to pray, and if you're going to trust God for it, you've got to be willing to shift and adjust and to be nudged by God and be moved by God, whichever direction he needs to move you. But yes, when it comes to our spouse, a better half understands, I can't change my spouse, but I can influence. I can influence them. A fourth thing is my emotions don't dictate my choices. See, emotions are powerful. And they are powerful feelings. But they're not so powerful that they dictate what we end up doing. When it comes to emotions, emotions might tell you, even in the context of your marriage, emotions might tell you, well, you can do that, you can get even. Emotions might tell you, oh, don't get even. You get ahead. See, it's emotions that they want to direct us. But emotions, when it comes to a better half understands that emotions don't dictate. They're not there forcing us to do something that is going to be detrimental to our marriage. A fifth thing is admitting my faults doesn't mean I'm a failure. A better half understands this, that a better half's willing to be transparent about their faults because they understand that admitting my faults doesn't mean I'm a failure. Some of my faults, and some of you've done life with me enough, you've been around me enough, that you know some of this stuff. I'm stubborn. I'm selfish at times. I'm opinionated. These are faults that I have. And those faults get drug into my marriage. Those faults get drug into my ministry. But that doesn't mean I'm a failure. But here's what has to happen. I have to be aware of my faults. I have to be aware of my faults to make sure that I'm willing to counterbalance and I'm inviting people to counterbalance me as well, especially in the context of marriage, my spouse. Last one is a better half understands that love is the most powerful tool I possess. In fact, I like to think of love as a power tool because it is. It's the most powerful tool we have. See, without love, we don't forgive. That without love, we don't forgive. And I'm telling you that you better forgive your spouse if you're going to be a better half. You see, we want forgiveness to come generously toward us. But some of us are very stingy in giving it. And we need to give it with the same desire and the same proportions that we love to receive it. So I'm going to wrap this up sharing with you two critical elements for endless love. Two critical elements for endless love. The first one is love defers to the other person. That love defers to the other person. This is a challenge in some marriages. Because in some marriages, it seems like each spouse is deferring to themselves. And love defers to the other person. Where do you need to defer? Is it in agreeing to live within the budget that you guys said this is what we're going to do? Where do you need to defer? Is it in leaving the office in a timely manner so that you are home more? Where do you need to defer? Do you need to defer in the household duties that are shared? Where do you need to defer? Is it in how it is that you're sharing responsibility with the kids? Where is it that you need to defer to the other person? Because love defers to the other person. And the second critical element for endless love is think relationship over rights. think relationship over rights. I don't do a lot of marriage counseling. I'm not really trained for it. I'm not really the best use of my time is to just be involved in a lot of counseling sessions. But yet I'll meet with couples and I'll say, hey, listen, I'll meet with you up to three times. And I kind of give a little booster shot and kind of get you going. But there's a lot of times that couples, they need long-term professional counseling. And that's just something that I can't do. But when I'm meeting with couples and I'm doing counseling, one of the first things that I share with a couple when both of them sit down in the room with me is I tell them up front, I'm going to pick a side. I am going to pick a side. I just want you to know that up front, full transparency, I'm going to pick a side. And the side I'm going to pick is I'm going to land on the side of fighting for the relationship. And then I tell them, and I'd like for you to as well, that if you take all of this effort and energy you use in fighting, if you would instead of focusing that fight on you, if you would focus that same amount of energy and intensity on fighting for the relationship, then I think you might be able to make the progress that your marriage needs. And so when it comes to where we're at within this relationship, is we have to understand that we need to think relationship over rights. See, every marriage is going to experience some bumpiness. Every marriage will end up experiencing some dark times. Some is a lot darker than others. Some, the darkness lasts a lot longer. Some don't recover from the darkness. But I'm convinced that most marriages could recover from the darkness if they would start sooner, and that they would focus their effort and their energy, and they would think relationship and not think about their individual rights. Mr. and Mrs. Better Half, it's what marriages were created to be. And so if you're married, my prayer is that that is the kind of marriage that you're going to have. And if you're single, throughout your search, my prayer is going to be that you would hold out for God's best for you so that you can experience a Mr. and a Mrs. Better Half. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of marriage, for the intimacy that comes, for the companionship that comes. God, I pray that we would be people, that we would understand these scriptural principles that we need to bring into relationships. And that we would, when it comes to marriage, that we would be aggressive in striving to be all that you created the marriage to be. That we would be the person that it could be truly described of us. That we strive to be the better half. I pray that you would bless, that you would lead for couples that you just know that you would want them to experience something like Weekend to Remember. I pray that you would nudge them. I pray that you would free up time, free up resources. And I pray that you would bring incredible joy into their marriage. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.